Welcome back to the show. Julian DeStoop sitting in for Dwayne Russell. Always a big day on a Friday. Plenty of coaches speaking ahead of the weekend's footy. There's been plenty on today. Alistair Clarkson, Brad Scott, Luke Beveridge. One man that has been at Luke Beveridge is Josh Gabalik from AFL.com.au, their senior reporter. G'day, Josh.
G'day, Jules. Good to be with you. Good to hear from Bevo. Pretty up and about, to be honest. After a disappointing start to the season, I expect a response tomorrow night at Marvel.
There's no excuse tomorrow night, is there? I mean, the Saints were good last week. It was a great win, but they're still heavily undermanned. Surely there's no out for the Dogs if they can't get across the line this time.
I don't think so. I mean, it's a long way back from zip and two. It's not as far back as it once was, but 0-2, you're a long way off being a top four side and even playing finals. So you're right, no excuses. But the good news for the Dogs is Liam Jones completed training. He looks good to go for tomorrow night. Obviously, that really nasty neck injury last Saturday night, which really ruined and ended his return game, first game for the Dogs in 8 years. But after starting the week really slowly, he's come on. He trained today and all but certain to play. Luke Beveridge said he's 99.9% likely to play. So if anything goes wrong between now and then, that would be the only reason, but he looks good to go, which is a big plus.
That is a big plus. So where are we at with Adam Treloar? We know he's not playing. Certainly earlier in the week, the language coming out of the Dogs was it wasn't too much of a concern, more of a tightness issue. Where are we at? We know he's not playing this week, but is this going to be more than a one-weeker for Adam Treloar?
Well, the issue is, Jules, they've got a really short turnaround. They've got Brisbane next Thursday night.
Yep.
So with that in mind, I don't think he gets up for that. So it looks like he'll miss two, but it shouldn't be any more than that. It's a really, really minor one. I mean, the scans didn't pick up too much, but he has had some issues in the past. And the issue over the preseason with him wasn't hamstring or soft tissue related. It was an ankle surgery that really affected the first half of his summer. And he didn't really get back into the main group until February, essentially, into full training. But his two games have been quite good. So it is a blow, especially when you factor in no Josh Dunkley, no Lockie Hunter. To lose him in round two is a blow.
It is a blow. Look at that Bulldogs team as well, Josh. They've got a good midfield, but maybe one thing they do lack is a bit of pace. And Adam Treloar does have that breakaway pace that you'd have to say a lot of their other good midfielders don't have.
Yeah, they are quite one pace, and that was why they wanted to get Cody Waitman through there. We can't forget that he's still missing with that adductor, and he's probably going to miss at least the first month of the season. So much excitement around them heading into the year. It's just been taken, the gloss has been taken off a little bit with some of these little injuries just to start the year.
Where's Jason Johannesson's footy at right now? We know he's, you know, there's talk that he was going to leave, ended up staying, re-signing with the Dogs and out of the side after 1 week.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, Luke Beveridge actually conceded they probably brought him in round one underdone. He didn't play, the inter-club didn't play the practice match. He just lacked a bit short of a gallop in a sense, just with some issues in the back end of the pre-season with his body, with his calf. So played forward predominantly last week. Probably not something that they're going to look to use him in going forward, which is what Beveridge said today. So they might play him in the VFL back at half-back or on a wing. So it's an interesting point that he comes in off a interrupted prep and he's dropped after just round one. So one to watch, especially given his contract status last year and his decision to stay.
You mentioned that short turnaround. I'm speaking to Josh Gabalik from AFL.com.au, their senior reporter. He's been out at the Bulldogs with Luke Beveridge today. Is that short turnaround going to be a problem for Rory Lobb as well?
I think so. I think so because, again, it's just a really tight turnaround to next Thursday night. He had only minor ankle surgery, has to be said, on Monday. And the issue sort of flared up heading into round one, and it's an explanation for the performance against Melbourne. It's something that he's had a bit of trouble with in the past during his time. The Fremantle on the club has decided to bang it on the head early rather than letting him play with it and letting it linger. So he could miss next week. There's no guarantee that he comes back straight after that, but they think that at this stage it'll just be the two games.
Well, Jack from Churnside Park off the 40 wings temp, he's pretty confident the Dogs will bounce back. They'll win by 60 and Norton will kick 8, according to Jack from Churnside Park. Just the Bombers, Josh, we know Jake Stringer played the audio from Brad Scott before explaining why he's playing in the VFL. I think most Essendon supporters would agree that is probably the right way to go. But just reading the reports out of Essendon this morning, doesn't sound like it's a certainty that Sam Wiedemann gets up this week.
Yeah, a little bit of a concern around him, Jules. I'm not fully across it, but I heard this yesterday. So definitely want to keep a watch on. Obviously, no Peter Wright for, you know, a large chunk of this season. Harry Jones is just getting up and going. So if they lost Sam Wiedemann, it would be a huge blow. But I'm not sure where you sit on this. I didn't hear discussion around Jake Stringer, but I think it's a great decision from the club. Yep. Not to bring him straight back in. I mean, he's had so many interruptions over the summer. I went out to the hangar quite a bit, and almost every session I was out there, he wasn't with the main group, and he'd come back for a few weeks and come back out. So to put him back through the VFL, I think it's a great call from Brad Scott.
Yeah, I think most Essendon supporters will agree. So, yeah, Sam Wiedemann kicked the ground last week, and just reading the reports, did a little warm-up with the rehab group and then went back in. So before, Brad Scott was saying, I'm not sure he's going to train today, might do a session indoors, but it sounds like certainly no certainty to get up for Sunday against the Suns. Tribunal this week. Josh, I don't think many people have a problem with Adelaide probably having their noses out of joint a little bit with the, you know, Pickett gets two, McAdam gets three, but I just thought the way they went about the original tribunal decision, where they seemed to want to argue every aspect of that charge was probably the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, I tend to agree, Jules. I mean, I don't mind them having a crack at it. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you may as well have a crack at trying to get him off or reduce the sentence, but I don't think you can go from three matches to none. So I get why the Crows are a little bit filthy with the comparison between that and Pickett. There are differences, but there's not a great deal of difference. So to see him get two and McAdam get three and have to go to the tribunal to start with caused them a little bit of grief. But when you look at the way they argued it last night, you can understand part of their argument in terms of trying to get it downgraded from severe to low, given the potential rather than what the actual impact was to Jacob Ware. I was out at Giant Stadium on Sunday and it was a massive hit, and it just felt a little bit tone deaf from Shane McAdam on the back of what happened the night before with Cozzy Pickett. So I think while we do have a little bit of confusion still around grading and how things are assessed, there's no confusion anymore. The bump is done. We've heard from almost every coach this week discuss the bump and be that adamant that you can't bump anymore.
Yeah, I hope no player goes down that path this week. And interesting you say there, Josh, that you were at Giants Stadium on Sunday. We know it was hot. It was a remarkable performance from the Giants with men down to come back and win. And Toby Green said this week it's, you know, the most difficult conditions he's played in. What do you think the residual effect will be on both teams this week? You know, Giants got long travel as well over to Perth, and then Adelaide have a, you know, really interesting game on paper against Richmond at home. Do you think that sapping conditions will have an impact on them at some stage in their games this week?
Well, it's one to keep an eye on with the Giants, because like the Dogs, they only played the one practice match. So they're just a little bit short of match conditioning. And it was definitely not an issue, but it's something that contributed to so many cramps. I mean, it was incredibly hot, 36 degrees. The humidity was through the roof. It was extreme in terms of what was going on in Western Sydney last Sunday. But it's going to be a tough trip for them, because it's one of the biggest trips in football, about a 5-hour flight from Sydney to Perth. And no Josh Kelly, no Lachie Whitfield. Those two were both amazing in those first three quarters last weekend. They're both missing with concussion. No Harry Perryman. So three forced changes. Jules, I think we might see a debutant. Just keep an eye on this. I mean, they took two players in the first round. Well, they took more than two players, but two players that they took in the first round last year in the squad for Sunday. Aaron Cadman, obviously pick number one, so much excitement around him. Kicked five goals in a practice match last weekend. Kicked four the week before that. He's definitely in contention. I don't know if they need to make a change to their forward line, given no Kelly, no Whitfield. So Harry Rowston is just one to keep an eye out today. Pick 16 last November, an academy graduate, New South Wales product. Spent a lot of time in and around the Giants before he was picked last year. So just keep an eye on him, because I think we might see him make a debut, which would be exciting. We saw heaps of debuts in round one, not too many in round two. I know we're going to see Tyler Young tomorrow at Adelaide Oval. And Jules, this is a story that has gone under the radar a little bit. He's played less than 30 games of football in his life, 24.
Amazing, isn't it?
So we don't see that too often. We usually see it with Irishmen, but he's played less than 30 games. He grew up playing soccer. Very late bloomer, pulled out of North Albury, went to Frankston, played for Richmond VFL last year. He's going to come in and play now, so it's a great story.
Yeah, and very close to playing last week as well in that big season opener. Josh, as always, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your weekend of footy.
Good to chat, Jules. Chat to you soon.
Josh Gabalik, AFL.com.au, senior reporter.